Welcome to Sisterhood, having conversations that matter with me, Lorianne Sheldrick, an incredible woman who support, encourage, and empower other women. While you are here, you will be supported. You will empower yourself so that you can be supportive to others and begin to fully embrace that we cannot be empowered women if we do not support those who are being disempowered. That is the magic that lies within sisterhood, and it only works if we do it together. The purpose of sisterhood is to create deep and meaningful connections with other women, have conversations that matter, because women need other women, and together we are going to be, do, and have all that we desire. It starts right here, right now, with me, my special guest, and with you. Let's begin. Welcome to the magic of sisterhood. Hi everyone, welcome back to Sisterhood. First episode back since the end of October. I love taking these big hiatus between podcasts, between seasons, because it gives, it gives the listeners time to catch up, you know, listen to the episodes that they've been wanting to listen to, that you've been wanting to listen to, but it also allows me time. It allows me space to do the things that I want and need to do to get creative, to get my creative juices flowing, to write more, because one of the things that I've been doing since the podcast went on a hiatus has been writing long form content for my email community, for my Substack community, and even for my social media community. And I've been creating beautiful reels, and I've been working on a new workshop. So, you know, I love content creation, but sometimes me especially, need to take just a little bit of a pause from creating all the things, from doing all the things, so that we can just be re-inspired again and get those creative juices flowing and not burn ourselves out. That is the most important thing. This is my intention for 2023, is really to have deeper conversations around what's going on. Like, why do we feel like we need to do all the things and burn ourselves out all the time? Burn ourselves out mentally, burn ourselves out emotionally, burn ourselves out physically, right? So we're going very deep this year. We're going to be really talking a lot about our emotions. So how to deal with anger, how to deal with grief, how to deal with frustration, how to deal with impatience, how to deal and cope with fear, how to deal and cope with like limiting beliefs. We're just going deep into everything we possibly can this year, because I want you to have all of the tools and all of the practices that have really helped me, especially. Like, I've been doing personal development work for the past 3 decades, and I'm in my mid-40s now. As I record this, I'm in my mid-40s. But the past few years, especially the past 3, have been the deepest I've ever gone. The real deep healing, really understanding who I am, what I desire, my triggers, my stressors, like all of it, the things that still need to be healed. So I've really done a deep dive this, especially 2022. And I have to say, I cannot wait now to share with you just everything, literally everything, as much as I can. So before we get into today's topic, which is going to be recognizing when your childhood upbringing is impacting your adult behavior, that's today's topic. Heavy topic, but beautiful topic as well. Like, I want it to always be both, right? It can feel like a heavy topic when you're listening and, you know, it's reminding you of your own experiences, but the beauty comes from doing this deeper work, from having this deeper understanding, from turning this knowledge that you're gaining about yourself and your life and turning that into wisdom. There's beauty in that. And sometimes it can feel heavy. It's both. It really is both. So I've decided, and we're going to do a whole podcast on identity, but I've decided to let go of my business name, not my business, but my business name, Contagiously Positive. It was no longer resonating with me. I started my coaching practice 10 years ago, and that's the name. There's a whole story behind it, which I won't share here, and I've shared on previous podcasts, the story behind Contagiously Positive. But it was no longer resonating with me, and I wanted to just go by Laurie Ann Sheldrick. So I finally let it go, and I didn't renew the domain. So I've just sort of been starting my website from scratch, starting my blog from scratch. It's been really wonderful to step into this version of me as I am now, and the woman that I am today, not the woman that I was 10 years ago. So shifting into this identity, letting that old identity go, right? Like it's been very difficult and very beautiful at the same time and very magical. So we're going to do a whole post on that, like a whole blog post one day, a whole podcast share one day. But for today, I just want you to know that you're going to see some different links, some different formats. You're not going to hear the term contagiously positive anymore. It's just all going to be me, Laurie Ann Sheldrick. So hi. So today I wanted to have a conversation about something that came up at a dinner party my husband and I had with friends. And we had our friends over for dinner, just a couple that we really love. And we were talking about how the way that we grew up has impacted the people that we are today, but also how we behave in certain situations today. So the two men, my husband and the other gentleman, they were raised in very similar families where they just got to be kids. So they were kids, they weren't exposed to grown-up challenges. They had this feeling of safety all the time. They knew they were always going to be taken care of. Like they just always felt safe. And this is so important, right? Like having your safety needs met is just as important as having your, you know, physiological needs met. Like your like food and shelter versus like feeling safe is also it just so important. So important. And because they had this need met, they always felt safe to be themselves, that they always knew that, you know, how their parents would be. Like they just knew that the stable home, that they could just be kids. The adults that they are today reflects that upbringing for sure. They're both very laid back. They both are very positive. They don't expect the worst. They're really chill. They always make you feel good when you're around them, like without even trying, like they just have that energy. They're super confident, not to say that they don't have moments where imposter syndrome or, you know, lack of confidence creeps in, but they're super confident. They still are very safe, feel very safe and are very trusting today. And because of all this, they're more willing to take like those greater risks. However, and I'm going to do a however for both because I'm going to say what my girlfriend and I, you know, recognized as well from our perspective. On the flip side of this, they have a very difficult time understanding why other people are not the same. So sometimes their expectations can be really difficult to meet because they were always cared for. They felt safe, so they struggle to understand people who didn't grow up that way, especially when their behavior reflects that as adults. They don't understand it because it's not something that they experienced. Also on the flip side is that risk-taking, that like lack of fear that they can have in certain situations can get them into sticky, you know, situations because they don't see the 10 steps ahead. They're not like me or my girlfriend. They're not worry warts. So they just truly don't believe that anything bad could ever happen to them. So they just jump into any experience that feels fun for them and don't have that part of their mind most often that says this may not turn out to be a good idea. So that was kind of like the Coles notes of their side. My friend and I had very different upbringings, and we were talking about how we both had to be adults. So even when we were small children, we were exposed to grown-up challenges. We were exposed to things that we weren't developed enough to cope with. We were exposed to things that made us feel like we weren't always going to be taken care of, and that made us grow up really fast. Things that made us feel afraid, things that made us feel unsure, things that made us question life, I guess, and our safety, without us knowing that that's what we were experiencing. I only know this now because of the work that I do and the work that I teach. Our need for safety, our emotional needs for safety, our physical needs for safety, our mental, just that need for safety wasn't met for us. We were always on unstable ground, like just never sure, you know, is the rug going to get pulled out from under us? What is it people's attitude going to be like? Is there going to be anger? Like just, we just didn't know that the people in our household, how their behavior would be. So it was kind of like walking on eggshells all the time. And because of that, because these very necessary basic needs weren't met, the adults that we are today reflect that childhood that we had, our upbringing. And one of them is that we both fall into this role of being the protector, the manager. Like I have to have everything in, I have to be in control at all the times, and I have to control everyone else's behavior all the time by thinking that I need to be the protector. I will make sure that things don't happen. So like if my husband's about to take this, what I would consider a risk, my protector personality will come out and remind him of all the things 10 steps ahead that could possibly happen. That could be good and that could be bad, right? It's always both and. It's not one or the other. There's strengths and weaknesses in both. So like for both of us, my girlfriend and I, when bad things happen, we instantly go into that like problem solving mode. And we can list out exactly what needs to be done to stay safe in an emergency, in any situation that feels risky or dangerous or fearful or whatever it may be, because we've probably already planned it out before it even happened, right? It's played out in our mind. We're like 18 steps ahead. So if there's a zombie apocalypse that comes, if there's ever any disaster that comes, you want us on your team. However, again, on the flip side to that, we often get stuck in the trap of future tripping, planning for things to go wrong before they even go wrong, or making things go wrong because of our future tripping and the anxiety and the stress and the things that come out of our behavior because we're in protector role, right? Like, trust me, when people don't want to be protected or managed or controlled, right? Things can go very wrong in that situation. And so it's really important to understand how this behavior is bringing out those certain aspects of us, those certain personalities, that certain behavior in us, and where it's, how we can use it as a strength or where it's a weakness that is just going to take us down a rabbit hole we just don't want to go down. Because again, there's always both. There's the strengths and there's the weaknesses in both. So if you spend most of your childhood being a peacekeeper, a manager, controller, people pleaser, right? Whatever name you want to give it. The trying not to rock the family boat protector, and you didn't feel safe to be anything else because you were always trying to control the situation. It might be very difficult for you today to feel like in this moment today, the person that you are now, that you ever get to be laid back and relaxed because you're so used to being in that state. The protector, the manager, the fight or flight state, right? Like the problem solver, the people pleaser, right? So the way my friend described it, which was so perfect, is you're always waiting for the other shoe to drop. And you might also find yourself being a people pleaser just to prevent, right? Trying to control every situation just to prevent the other shoe from dropping because you just expect that's just what happens. And if that's the case, that means that other people's behavior is probably also controlling your life. And this was such an important conversation that we had all together, the four of us, understanding both sides, understanding her and I, and understanding my husband and his friend. Us sharing our stories with our spouses really helped them to understand us better. So they know that when we go into a situation where we don't feel safe, it may affect our behavior if we're not paying attention when we've been triggered. You know, we might become irritable, we might become angry, we might become fearful, we might become worried, which can often mask itself as anger and irritability. We might feel like we need an exit strategy before we even go into the experience because we're in the future tripping, right? It also helps them to understand other people's behavior to show that, oh, not everyone had the upbringing that we had. And of course, now they understand that that would and could impact their adult behavior today. So I love having conversations like these because it's such a great reminder that no matter what your life was like, you know, when you were growing up, when you were a child, it informs who you are today. Like good or bad, it made you you. And what we want to do is not come down on ourselves, not like blame our parents or blame the people who raised us, right? They were probably doing the best they could too with what they had and what they were experiencing. What we want to do is practice to ensure that our behavior is mentally, emotionally, and physically supportive to the person that we are today. Today we are safe. So when your needs were not met as a child, and your behavior still reflects that as an adult, what it will often feel like is it will feel like you're out of control, like your life is out of control, and then you try to control it even more, like you hang on even tighter. At least I know that's how it's made me feel. So I think also having these conversations and having this understanding helps us to really understand that the way we reacted as children was perfectly normal. And thank God you reacted that way because you went into those roles to protect yourself because your needs were not being met. And even as a child, you naturally knew how to protect yourself. But the thing is, what served you then, what supported you then, because your needs weren't being met, especially your needs for safety or love or whatever that wasn't being met as a child, which is typically love and safety. Because if that wasn't met, you went into the best protective roles that you could possibly think of. And that was amazing. That was your survival skills kicking in without you even realizing it. But it's probably not serving you as much today as an adult. Not to say it can't serve you, it's just we need to ensure that we're using that in situations that actually require it. I don't need to be in protector mode all the time. I don't need to be in future tripping mode all the time. I don't need to be in problem solving mode all the time. I don't need to control every single circumstance and every single person just because I'm afraid the other shoe is going to drop. That doesn't support me. When it does support me today is when I do need to solve a problem, when I am in a situation that needs my protective role, when I am in an experience that needs me to go into high gear and be like, all right, let's get this done. We got to get ourselves to safety. So it's being able to discern, okay, do I need this personality? Do I need this behavior? Do I need this person to come out today? Do I need this role to come out today? Is it going to support me or not? And I know I'm really simplifying this because we're just starting this process. We're literally just taking baby steps to figure this out. So I want to begin with just some reflection questions, right? Like grab a pen and paper, or grab a journal, like, and focus on exploring a few of your behaviors. So I'm gonna guide you with some questions, and I'll also put the questions for you in the show notes so that you have the questions there so that you can journal on them. But I'll go through them now with you so that just in case I want to expand on one, then I can do that. So the first question is, are you a problem solver who believes you have to solve everyone's problem even when they don't ask for help? Are you a protector who comes to everyone else's aid, putting your own well-being aside? Are you constantly people-pleasing, making sure that everyone else's emotional state is where you think it should be, but you feel like you're out of control, like you're unloved, or you're not being supported? Do you feel like not doing these things will somehow make people abandon you or not love you? And I ask these questions because these are the most common behaviors that I see when people's safety needs aren't being met as a child, because typically they will go into overdrive. They will go into overdrive to be the problem solver, to be the protector, to control every situation and to control people, because they weren't loved in the way that they needed to be loved. They weren't supported in the way they needed to be supported. They didn't feel safe. Maybe you didn't feel safe. So it can also be really helpful to ask yourself some questions. So before you go into any default role, not just these, this is just the one that I'm talking about today, any default role, ask yourself, am I the one who needs to be solving this problem? Does this situation or experience or event require me to plan for a worst case scenario, or can I just relax and enjoy myself? This is really important, this question. When I worked in project management, we had a three-phase project. I worked for a general contracting firm, and we had a three-phase project. In phase one, we made a lot of mistakes. It was our first time doing a building like this, so we made a lot of mistakes. When phase two came, my problem-solving abilities, that strength that I just naturally had, because that's the behavior that got strengthened from not feeling safe as a child and trying to solve the problems in the family, that helped me. In that situation, I got to sit down for days with the team. We all got to sit down for days and think of, okay, how can we plan for the worst case scenarios that happened in phase one, so, and plan for them to go wrong in phase two, and what can we do to prevent them, and what should we do if they do happen? So that was really amazing. So when we actually started phase two, we were prepared. So it was more relaxing. It was a more enjoyable project than phase one, which felt like just endlessly putting out fires. So this is a really good, again, I want you to see that these behaviors have strengths and weaknesses to them. It just depends on what we're using them for and in what situation. So you could also ask you, like, do I need to be the protector in this situation? Do I need, whatever role it is that's coming out, do I need to step into this role in this situation? Or is it the adult me that is needing to do this? Or have I just reverted back to a childhood behavior where I felt like it was my responsibility because I didn't feel safe, so I just naturally was trying to give it to myself and to be the peacekeeper in the family or whatever it may be? And this is so important. And you can just simplify it even further and just ask yourself, why am I not feeling safe? Or even simpler, is this behavior supporting me? So I want to share an experience. I'm going to share a minor experience to really come home with this, because I want us to gently get into this practice before we dig up everything. I want us to just like ease into it. That's one of the things for this year is like go with the flow. Like the most simplistic we can get, the better, so that we don't add more stress. And we just keep peeling the layers. We just keep doing the healing every step at a time. So we're going to do it gently. We're going to be graceful. We're going to give ourselves grace and be gentle with ourselves. So small example, but a really good place to start to show how I'm working on breaking this cycle and meeting my needs for safety as an adult that I didn't feel like I had as a child. So my husband and I have acquaintances, have friends who host these amazing parties. Everyone gets invited, and anyone who knows anyone can also come. So it often would make for a very eclectic group of personalities. And then you would get like a few drinks into people, and sometimes things would happen at those parties that would make a protector slash people pleaser slash control freak personality, okay, like me, step into full on problem solving mode. And then you throw into that like past childhood, you know, things that have happened and triggers, and then even adult experiences where negative things have happened directly to me that, you know, maybe made me feel incredibly fearful and unsafe. And you have like this perfect recipe for a trigger to affect the way that I responded, the way I acted, and the way that I behaved. So me being the protector, me being that control person, me being the people pleaser, I often found myself not enjoying these parties because I didn't feel safe. And my default when I'm not feeling safe is to step into fight mode and fix it, or to get so anxious that everything inside of me is screaming run. So after a few of these parties, later on, after just having a few things just happen that like really triggered this lack of safety in me, when I would get invited, my guard would be up before I even accepted the invitation because I was 10 steps ahead. I was already worst case scenario, already waiting for the other shoe to drop, like already future tripping. I couldn't enjoy myself because I didn't feel like I would be safe. And this is how not having a need met in childhood can show up in adulthood, but it can also be how boundaries not being met can also show up and affect our behavior. So one day I was complaining to a friend about this, and I was blaming my feelings on everyone else. Like, you know, it's just so much easier to do sometimes. And I wasn't taking responsibility for my own emotions. And I eventually just like got so sick of hearing myself talk about it and complain about it that I'm like, I need to stop doing this. So the next time I was invited, I knew that I was going to have two choices. I could either not go, or I could mentally and emotionally prepare myself so I could break this cycle. So it happened. I got invited. I decided to go. I began by asking myself some of those questions, you know, that we just went through. And I went into it with my guard down, but boundaries, intentional boundaries being set. And I decided that if at any time I didn't feel safe or it was getting out of control, I would just remove myself from the situation. That's the boundary that I created with myself, to myself. And I said to myself, okay, if you don't feel safe, you can just leave. You can just leave. You can just slowly walk out, gently walk out, like just respectfully walk out and be like, excuse myself, and go. And because of this, giving myself that permission, allowing myself to have that healthy boundary that I only communicated to with myself, which is the person that I need to be communicating it to the most, I felt like I was able to relax because I took myself out of the role of needing to be the protector. It was almost like saying to my protector self, I don't need you right now. I've got you. You're safe. And if at any time we don't feel safe, I will remove us. I'm an adult now. I've got you. And that is something we usually can't do as children, but it's something we can do as an adult. So to break that pattern, I changed my behavior. I talked to myself. I talked to my protector self, telling her, you're safe. I've got it. I'm going to get us to safety because I know exactly what I need to do. Right now, you can relax. I'll pay attention to what's going on. You don't need to. I've got it. And I'm not saying that I never have like anxious feelings come up in certain situations. Of course I do. But that's when I can just excuse myself for a moment if I'm like in a group setting, or even if it's just me at home, I can excuse myself and I can go talk to whichever part is coming out that is trying to keep me safe. And I don't need it in that moment because I've got it. I've got it. So I know this is such a big topic and there's so much more that, like, I'm going to continue to go into these topics deeper and deeper and deeper, but I want to baby step it in these shares because I don't want you to feel overwhelmed. So if this resonates with you, do the work, do the deeper exploration, right? Like, ask yourself those questions. Ask yourself, what do I do today that's from an old childhood behavior that kept me safe? It kept you safe then. It would be good in a certain situation, but you don't need it all the time today. I want you to think of those things that don't feel mentally, emotionally, and physically supportive and give you anxiety. Write them out. Write down those behaviors. And what I want you to do is I want you to think about how you can communicate with yourself and your loved ones as well, so that you and they know why you behave, think, and act the way you do in certain situations that trigger it and have that come out. I want you to be able to communicate to yourself first, because the moment you can fully understand why you do what you do and behave the way you behave and react the way you react and respond the way you respond and act the way you act, that's when you can say to the people around you, this is why I do what I do. But I'm trying to change. I have found this to be the most important step. Me knowing all of me. Me knowing all of me makes me feel safe, makes me feel seen and understood, because I'm seeing myself and understanding myself. And I think that's something that we need to be able to do. We can't put all our focus on having other people make us feel safe and seen and understood, even though that's really important. We need to make ourselves feel safe, seen, and understood, which means we have to have those conversations with ourselves. We need to get to know all of us, all the things that make us who we are. You know, and if you want to, what I highly recommend for a journaling exercise is ask yourself, what can I do to embrace who I am? The things that make me me, but change the pattern that doesn't serve me in every situation. What reaction, response, behavior, action, or decision would be more supportive? If I felt the way that I wanted to feel, what would I do differently? Because again, I don't want to rid myself of my natural protector, right? That natural protector role, because it does serve me. It has served me. And it will continue to serve me. It makes me a great problem solver. And I'm really good in difficult situations. But I don't need it turned on for every single experience. And I don't need to solve every single problem. So the practice here is just doing things differently until that cycle is broken. You're not going to get it perfect every single time. And that's okay. That's normal. You're not a robot. You're a human being with deep ebb and flow emotions. This is a practice. It's a practice. And we work at changing the behaviors that don't serve us in the moments they don't support our mental and emotional health. We become aware of them and then we just do our best. That's all we can do. That's all we can do. So I have a couple resources for you. First of all, I just want you to know, you've got this. You're not alone. Trust me, you are not alone. I just had this conversation before I pushed the record for this episode. I was talking to an old friend and we were talking about like confidence and imposter syndrome and just all things that come up sometimes in our lives. And we think that we're the only ones who feel that way. And we look at other people online, social media, or, you know, in our lives, and we're like, God, they have it all together. They seem to have it all together. Am I ever going to be like them? Am I ever going to have the things that they have? Am I ever going to be able to do the things that they do? And what I said to her, I said, you know what? Nobody has it all together all the time. No one has their shit together 24/7. That person that you get caught stuck comparing yourself to cried in the bathtub last week just like you did, potentially, or has, or will, right? Like, we all have those moments. We all have those moments. We all get overwhelmed. We all enter phases of learning where we don't know what to do next. Like, we all have a beginning. We all have a middle. Like, everyone goes through everything. Like, we just don't know it. We don't know it. Everyone goes through moments when they don't feel confident. Everyone has times when they behave in a way that they wish they hadn't behaved. No one's perfect. Nobody. So one thing that I recommend, I'm going to give you, here's the resource that I want to give you. I'm going to give you two. There was a beautiful book written by Melody Beatty. It's called Codependent No More, and it's a wonderful book. If you find yourself always feeling like you need to be in control, if you find yourself like anxious around people, if you find yourself the people pleaser, the constant problem solver, the person who always has to control every situation, highly recommend this book. Beautiful book, so many amazing tools. I also recommend looking up a modality called IFS, Internal Family Systems. And I'm going to put this exact link for where to begin, the book to begin, both of these books, in the show notes. So head to the show notes. These are beautiful places to start. And if you want to take this any deeper with me, head to my website. I have beautiful workshops there, digital workshops, 3 to 4 hours, depending on which one you choose, that helps you depending on what emotion you're trying to work through. I have one on fear. I have one on strengthening your inner guidance system, that like decision-making, to get more clarity so we can like tone down that, tune out the external noise that's just like making us feel like we don't have control of our lives and putting ourselves back in the driver's seat. There's one on like stress management, but coming at it from the emotional standpoint, like working towards strengthening our emotional literacy, our emotional intelligence to manage stress, because our emotions are the things that are guiding us, that are leading us, that we're following. So, and they're normal and they're amazing. And right. So we just don't want to take up permanent residence in all of them. So you can even go check that out. So there's tons of resources. Go into the old podcast, look to see if there's a really beautiful one. I loved it so much. I think I keep using the word beautiful all day today. Like, been using this word in the podcast a lot. Something's coming up with beautiful. Maybe I need to create something beautiful. All the old podcasts, there's one, I did a two-part series on anger, exploring the emotions of anger. So I'm going to put all the links for you in the show notes so that you have more resources to take this deeper. And if anything, just do the journal prompts, explore, get to know you, and start to understand how your childhood upbringing is impacting your adult behavior, and begin to just slowly change the cycle. And simply understanding it is the first step and will help you so much. And you're going to be like, oh, this is why I do what I do. And it's just going to free you. It's going to free you. Getting to know yourself, even the parts that you think are bad, and there are no bad parts, getting to know yourself is the most freeing, healing, magical thing that you can do. Get to know all of you. That's the way to make yourself feel safe, seen, and understood, so that you can communicate that to yourself and to all those around you. So I'm sending you so much love. And as we always end, let's continue with just ending like this. Remember this. Take this in. You are good enough. You have always been good enough, and you will always be good enough. I can't wait to share the next conversation with you, and I'll see you back here next time. Bye.